1 hour left. We are talking about what we saw last night out at Golden One Center and the Kings and the Rockets. And then we are looking ahead to tomorrow's game against the Dallas Mavericks. And in about 55 minutes from now, Doug, we're going to get people out to the Coliseum for a gigantic game for the Raiders. They can turn their entire season around with a win. They can also say goodbye to their season with a loss. That's how big this game is.
Yeah, and not to mention that, you know, let's say Carr early, you know, 1-5 against this Kansas City Chiefs, and obviously not this team, and he was young in his career, but this could turn it around for them. Also, it could really show a chink in this Kansas City armor. They look really, really invincible for a good portion of the year, and now all of a sudden, yep, winning a game like this, it could set things ablaze for them.
A very, very good point. I mean, the Chiefs know that they can't beat Pittsburgh. Last week was a great example of that. Well, I shouldn't say they can't beat them. I mean, the point is that they haven't been able to beat them. Pittsburgh's been their nemesis. And if you can put some doubt in Kansas City's mind with a second straight loss, then you never know what can happen with them. So, big game. We're going to get you out to the Coliseum coming up in a little less than 1 hour from now. If you want to talk about the game last night as we wait for David Carr to come on, please do so. Kings reaction at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. What did you like? What did you not like? If you're just joining us, you know, Doug and I went over the replay, which I think was a complete fiasco. I thought it still, to this day, nearly 24 hours later, does not make sense to me. If it indeed was to see who should have been shooting free throws, it shouldn't have taken 2 minutes. It should have taken 10 seconds. And I don't understand why that would have taken so long, which tells me that there was some other discussion going on besides that. I don't know what it was, but I'm just trying to use common sense here. Common sense tells me that if they were reviewing who should have been shooting free throws, the only person that could have been shooting free throws was Eric Gordon, and there was no other Rocket in the vicinity. Why did that take 2 minutes? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, this is one of those deals that it baffles you, but at the same time, granted, it's a learning situation for the NBA because it puts them with the 2 minute thing that they drill at the end and all the different replays and stuff. It puts them on the spotlight. They're going to have to correct this type of stuff.
Let's get to Daryl. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. You know, when it comes to basketball, the only thing I'm an expert at is how to miss. And wanted to weigh on what I saw last night. I really love the team camaraderie and how we worked as a team, and we only had four bad passes, and one of those was by Vince himself. What we actually lost on is we had at least a half a dozen times that the rotation of the ball pulled the ball back.
We got to let you go. You got a terrible connection. Try to call back, and we'll get you on. Let's get to some more phone calls, and it is Jerry. Jerry, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, Doug, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I wanted to talk about tonight in sports. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have two TVs in front of me, picture in picture. I'm going to be watching football, baseball, basketball, and hockey, and probably have a piece of pizza in my hand. Really looking forward to it. I love this time of year. Thank God for cable TV. And as far as the Kings go, Dad, I feel like they won last night. I don't know, but I just feel like they won. Looking forward to some big things in the next few years from this team. I feel like that dead weight is gone, and I just feel like we've got some guys who will play for each other now, hopefully. And, Doug, whatever happens, when these guys do get good, don't let them do any kind of Sports Illustrated cover shoot, please, okay?
Why is that?
It's bad luck.
When was it bad luck?
It's always bad luck. Cover of Sports Illustrated is basically bad luck. Anyway, love you guys. Love the show.
Thank you, Jerry. He's best.
I don't get that.
Best show on court wasn't bad luck. It was bad luck for all the opponents, Grant. That's all it was bad luck for, buddy.
I think I'm not even going to get to what he's referring to, but here's what I do know. I would think it would be one of the great honors. Can you imagine if when you were a kid dribbling a basketball, if somebody said, you know what, one day you're going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Grant, that was, as a kid, it was one of my goals. And when that happened and they called us up in the room and was like, hey, we got to shoot, we're going to do this. And I was just.
Isn't that, I mean, seriously, I mean, yeah. I can't even imagine a more incredible honor, a
yes.
more incredible milestone than when that, and because you don't know what they're going to use until it comes out on the newsstand. And I still to this day, I can't even imagine what that would be like to be on the cover. And that was an iconic, that was such an incredible cover shot.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing from a lot of different standpoints. And it was bringing in, really, in my opinion, what we're seeing now, because played basketball yep. the right way.
You know what, now when I say this, and I don't even know if he's listening right now, like if I were Bobby Jackson, I would have been ticked off because, like, you know, Bob, you know what I'm saying?
That ain't right.
Bobby was such a big part of that. Absolutely. You know, and you know what I mean? And like, wait a minute, they got the five on there. What about me?
What
I'm the sixth
me?
Man of the year. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. Bobby's. Is that why you be doing me like that, Bobby? That ain't right, man. Come on, Bobby.
Right, DC? Think about that.
No doubt.
Can you imagine being the sixth man of the year, and, you know, you're on this team, and all of a sudden, you know, you got the starting five on the cover of SI. You know what I'm saying?
Good point. He wasn't the sixth man yet.
But no, but he was still an extremely valuable member of that
what?
Team.
What? Come on, man. Yeah, he could have started for anybody. I'm gonna cut out a piece and paste him on mine.
Yeah, all right, there you go. Daryl, you're next here. Daryl, we got your back. Go ahead.
Hey, is that a better connection?
Yep, thank you.
All right, as I was saying, I'm an expert at how to miss a basketball. And the only thing that kept us from winning last night is we had at least a half a dozen times that bounce the ball back out of the hoop from three-point shots. And that's just because we got these rookies that are used to a closer three-pointer than we were basically missing from rookie rotation. Give them a couple of months, and I am so excited about what we're going to see on that court. And Fox was incredible.
So, thank you for the call. He's special. I mean, there's just no other way. He has a chance if he stays healthy. Jerry and I were talking about this on TV last night. Mm-hmm. All right, he's in the norm. He's not the exception with young players that don't shoot the ball extremely well. That he's in the majority, not the minority. Can you just imagine if and when he starts becoming a good outside shooter, how on earth would you defend him?
I always say blindfolding a cigarette, Grant, but let me tell you, I remember the exact play that Jerry's talking about. He came off of a pick and roll, and the guy tried to stay in front of him. He gave him a move, and he was at the elbow, and he was wide open. He just barely missed it. But Jerry was like, oh, boy, when he's able to make that shot, I know exactly. Because Grant, with that type of speed, he backs people up, he gets them in bad positions, there's going to be foul trouble. So many different things can happen with that.
All right, we're going to talk more about what's going on with the Kings. Again, I'm in Dallas getting ready for the Kings and the Mavericks tomorrow, but there's a huge game tonight at the Coliseum, and joining us now is David Carr. You see him on the NFL Network, and you can see him tonight following the game on NFL Total Access Endgame. Of course, Thursday Night Football with the Chiefs and the Raiders on CBS, the NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. David, this is Grant Napier along with Doug Christie. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Thanks for coming on. You know, a lot of talk about what's wrong with the Raiders. I want to ask you, what do you think's the problem with the offense right now, which was, you know, such a prolific offense last year, going up and down the field, and seemed to be struggling this season? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can point to. I think the one thing that everyone's kind of naturally going to look at is, you know, the lack of execution, and that's you know. New offensive coordinator Todd Downing was a guy that was he's a great quarterback coach. He did a good job last year designing some red zone schemes, and he's getting his shot. And I think that it just takes some time to develop a style and a rhythm and kind of know what works for your guys. And that's what he's working through right now. And he's only going to improve and get better. And Derek and his relationship is good, so I think that's a start. And he's very open. I was up there in training camp to Derek's ideas and thoughts, and you know. But as much as you want to get input from everybody, at the end of the day, you got about 4 seconds after that ball is chopped to get a play in. So it's just a learning process. I think that he'll grow into that, and he'll get better. I think the other thing that's kind of happening is there's a little bit of an issue with the identity of the team. You know, every year a team goes in, and you know, it's different from the last year. It's never going to be the same. You add new pieces, you add new colors. And you got to find out who you're going to be as a football team. And you know, the first two games, they were rolling, playing good football. Last four games, not so much. And I think that there's, with the new pieces, you have Marshawn Lynch in there. And I think that anytime you're going to roll in and play a team and you're a defense coordinator, we saw it against the Washington Redskins. They just came out and took offense to the fact that you know, the Raiders talked a lot about coming into the game, coming into all these games this year, and physically beating up the other team and pounding the football with Marshawn. And, you know, you're playing against the best in the world. And if you get an NFL defense focused on a guy like that, then they're going to do everything they can to stop him. So then you have to kind of rethink your game plan and the process of that game. And that's where you can kind of get stuck. You have Jack, who's a great defensive mind, and he's, you know, just like all defensive coaches, they want to run the football. They want to be physical. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not that it's contrasting styles to what they've had success with. But last year, if you remember, the Raiders were spreading the football out. They were getting out of Derek's hands fast. They were making big plays. And the run game just came as a byproduct of what they were doing in the passing game. So, you know, you got two issues going on. I think the biggest thing that they have to do is just play with more confidence. Everybody has to be on the same page. I see a lot of blown assignments. I saw a lot of mental errors from veteran guys that just shouldn't happen at this point. And you got to hold yourself accountable. And I think each guy has to not necessarily point fingers, but they have to see how they can improve the team. And then you start doing all that, and then it slowly becomes a good football team. They have a good team. They clearly had a good team last year. Not a lot of pieces have changed. They've, you know, some people could say they've improved, you know, from a player standpoint. So it's just a matter of time, and I think that they got a great opportunity tonight.
David Carr, NFL Network analyst, NFL Total Access in-game. That's where you can see him after the game tonight. David, Marcus Mariota last week injured, stays in the pocket, throws the ball. Take us into the mindset, because Derek has an issue with his back. You've played at a really, really high level. Yeah. And how do you manipulate that situation when you're dealing with the back but you're trying to do the things that you normally do?
Yeah, it's difficult. I think I thought Marcus did a fantastic job. You know, a lot of what Marcus does is he's involved in the run game also, you know, and for them to still have him out there playing and really wasn't able to do any of that. You know, he went out and started running one time and slid at the line of scrimmage, and he had plenty of room, but he knew that he couldn't do it. And Derek did something very similar last week where he slid for about a 1 yard gain when he had some room to move around. So they're just trying to protect themselves as they come back. They know that, you know, both those guys being on the field is still advantageous for their football team even if they're not 100%, just from a game understanding, from a field generalship. I mean, it's just, you know, the presence of them being out there is worth a lot. So you got to protect them from a play caller standpoint. I think both coaches have done that, Tennessee, and I think with Todd here in Oakland. So you just kind of gauge it, and then you see how they respond, how they came back after the game. Derek felt fine after the game the other day, even though he got hit a couple times, and then you go forward and you hope they get back to 100%, and then they can move around and make the plays that they're capable of making with their feet. You saw Derek bootleg out to the left, throw a ball across his body to Seth for a big game last week. So he's not as banged up as people might, you know, think. I think he's done a good job in the offseason of working, and he's got a lot of strong muscles in his core. So he's able to bounce back from some of these things, and you know, I'm excited to watch him tonight.
Talk to us about knowing when you have such a prolific receiver from what we've seen in the past in Amari Cooper, and then for whatever reason it's not happening this year. Take me from a quarterback's perspective. Can you lose confidence in a receiver because of the drops and because of the lack of productivity? And as a quarterback, how do you deal with that? Because let's face it, the Raiders are going to be better if an Amari Cooper can be the Amari Cooper that we've seen the last 2 years.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think when a receiver's struggling or a player's struggling, you try to do everything you can for the other 10 guys to pick him up and elevate their play so that his game becomes easier. From a quarterback's perspective, if you have a receiver that's struggling catching the football, you try and find situations where you can get him easy ones. You know, my dad played basketball back in college, and he used to say if he missed his first couple shots, he'd just try and find a layup. Find me an easy bucket, and that's what you kind of got to do for Amari is get him involved early, find a way to get him a screen, throw him a hitch. You know, something simple to where he gets a little bit of a confidence boost at the beginning. Not every player needs that every week, but I think a guy like Amari, it would go a long way for him to be able to get the ball in his hands, make a play, and then kind of give him a little confidence going forward. So that's what you try to do. And then after that, it's hard because, you know, even if a guy is struggling, you know, oftentimes reads dictate where you throw the football. It's not necessarily player matchups unless you're dealing with one-on-one situations. You know, and honestly, Crabtree he's been making more plays, you know, over the last year or so. And so I think that as a quarterback, you just naturally see the guy that's made more plays. So you're going to tend to go that way when it's an even, you know, you're out to the right, you got Amari, and over the left, you got Crabb. And if it's an even situation as far as the corner matchups and the coverage dictates, you go to the guys who are making more plays for you. So I think that until Amari helps himself out, you know, help me help you, like the old Jerry Maguire saying,
yeah.
you got to go out and make some plays for your quarterback, and that will instill confidence in him to give you another chance. So I don't think that it's a lost cause by any stretch of the imagination. I thought he played pretty good last week, albeit in a lost cause. He caught a couple balls, made some nice plays, and I think that he's going to continue to do that.
Dave, we know Alex Smith is the orchestrator. If you're the defensive coordinator of the Raiders, out of these three-headed monster, who scares you the most, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, or Travis Kelce?
Well, I have a healthy fear for all of them. And I think the one thing that when you watch the Pittsburgh Steelers game plan, which I thought that was really good, they went into that game and they didn't bring a lot of pressure at Alex. Now, they mixed the coverages up, which you have to do against an experienced quarterback. They played a lot of different coverages. They dropped eight a lot. And they were able to stop the run with dropping eight into coverage, which was pretty impressive. And I think the Raiders have that type of front that they could get away with rushing three or four and play some coverage on the back end to where you make Alex hold the ball a little bit longer and maybe dance around, see if he can, you know, make a play, which is what you don't usually want. But in the case of how quick they get the ball out of their hands and how they just really try to scheme you, From a matchup standpoint and a shift in motion standpoint, sometimes it's better just to drop out in coverage and let them all run around and let them come to you.
That's what
Pittsburgh did last week. And I would expect that the Raiders do a lot of the same. Didn't play a ton of man coverage, hardly any snaps against the Chiefs. And you play zone defense. And I think that's what you try to do. And then you have the guys with Khalil and Bruce to go get after him, and Mario in the middle. I mean, these guys can push the pocket and make something happen. So you just have to have a big night from your defensive line. And if they can do that, you can cover on the back end. You can cover these guys if you do it as a team.
You know, you were talking about this team being good, and there's no question that you look at the personnel and you think they should be better than they are. But here's the bottom line. Thursday Night Football, arch rival. You have lost four in a row. Your season pretty much is on the line. Now, I know that's not to talk in a locker room because you have a lot of games left, but let's not kid anyone. I think if the Raiders lose tonight, they're going to be done. So, I mean, there are no excuses. Tonight, I would think that, you know, we're going to see as good as the Raiders can play, I think it's got to be on the field tonight.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, talking to some of those guys this week and even talking to Derek a couple hours ago, he said, we're going to go out and we got to get this one. And so there's a sense of urgency. You guys understand. And usually it's not said between brother. We just know, you know, but when he goes out and he says, we got to get this one, there's a sense of, we got to go out there and do what we know how that we're capable of doing. They've played these guys before. The Chiefs have played pretty well against the Raiders in the past. But I think that tonight you're going to get the Raiders' best effort because, like you said, they have no other choice. They got to make it happen tonight.
When you talk to Derek from time to time or every day, I'm not sure. In his head, does he think about being 1-5 against this KC team? Even though those, I know it was early, and now he's better and they're better. Does that go into his mind at all?
No, you definitely realize, and we've talked about just how good their defense is. I mean, when we talk about defense throughout the National Football League, especially when we're just talking in the offseason, the only two teams that really come up are the Chiefs and the Broncos. Mm. I mean, that's pretty much everybody else is just a team, honestly. And, you know, the Chiefs, they're a solid unit. They're good up front. They have a good front seven, and they play tough physical defense on the back end, too, and they challenge your receivers. So when we talk about that kind of stuff, it's not we're 1-5 against these guys. It's a tough challenge, and guys have to play their absolute best game, you know, every time we go up against them. So that's all it is. It's just another challenge. He's faced them in the past before. He's faced multiple challenges in his life. It's just another one. So he gets excited for these opportunities because you're playing the best in the world. I mean, these guys consistently with them and Denver have been, you know, two of the best defenses over the last 5 years I've seen. And so it's just another challenge for their guys. And, you know, what a better stage to go out there against a really solid defense who, honestly, they're going to be a little upset, too. They lost to Pittsburgh. They want to go back and get back on track. They don't want to make this division close at the end, so they're going to try and create some separation. So it's going to be a dogfight.
David Carr, NFL Network analyst. Make sure you tune in tonight following the game, NFL Total Access Endgame. David, it's really nice to have you on, man. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Nice talking to you.
Appreciate you.
All right, good stuff right there. And, you know, the fact that he's in constant contact and kind of shared what, you know, Derek's going through and, you know, about how, hey, we got to get this one. It's the talk's a little bit different. He talked about the sense of urgency. That's why I got to believe if it's going to happen, it has to happen tonight because the Raiders, this you want to talk about a game that is a pendulum swinger? you know, you lose this game and you're done. I mean, let's just face it. Not only are you done, you may not win six games, seven games. I'm not kidding you, okay? You're done. Whereas if you win, you have an extra 3 days to heal up, get ready, because you got two games coming up on the road, and then really a third game because Mark Davis didn't want to play a home game against New England. Yeah, we'll go a couple thousand miles away, just like we did last year. You know, again, it's ridiculous. The point I'm trying to make is you lose tonight and you're done. You win tonight, and guess what? You head to Buffalo with a lot of momentum, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, we weathered the storm. We're ready to go. Let's do it. That's how huge this game is tonight.
Yeah, Grant, I'm going to take it even a step further based upon what he just said with the conversation with Derek that, you know, we have to win this game, meaning that's in his head. And I can take this to when we were playing and the fact that we might lose two in a row. I don't know that we lost three in a row. But after two, we would look at each other and we said, okay, guys, let's lock in. Let's focus. And normally, we go out and absolutely, because when you're a good team, you have that ability. You know you're good. Let's focus and make sure there are no distractions. So from that standpoint, Grant, this is the absolute best you're about to see from the Raiders, what I just heard. So whatever that is, we're about to see it.
Because I don't know if they're a good team. I knew you were a good team, but I don't know if this is a good team. We're going to find out tonight, Doug. You're right on. You're right on. We'll be right back. Don't forget, we do have the game. We'll get you to the Coliseum a little bit before 5 right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, our thanks to David Carr, NFL Network, Grant Napier, Doug Christie. So let's talk a little bit more about this game tonight before we get to some phone calls. I'm still going with the Chiefs, Doug, and I know it's a must-win for the Raiders, but I don't like the matchups here with, as you mentioned, the three, Hunt, Kelce, and Hill, a quarterback that doesn't throw interceptions. And I don't have a lot of confidence in the Raiders right now. I don't see them able to stop Kansas City's running game. And I don't see the offense able to do enough. Now, I do think the Raiders will have success running the ball tonight. And the reason why I say that, Doug, Pittsburgh ran the ball right down Pittsburgh's throat. So I think that the Raiders, if they're patient, they should be able to establish their running game in this contest.
Only problem with that is it eats up the clock, Grant, and this is a prolific offense when you're talking about KC. Hill, Hunt, they can get it, and they can go to the house 70 yards at any time. So, yeah, can you eat up some clock, maybe keep it low, but they might put up a number on you. I'm agreeing with you, Grant. I think Kansas City, even though you're probably going to see the best Raiders effort that we've seen so far, Kansas City is coming off a loss, and that's probably the most deadly thing that could have happened for the Raiders because they will be ready. With all that said, Grant, your Giants went into the Broncos and beat them last week, so who knows, man?
No, you're right. Who knows? Now, we do know this is not, you know, two time zones, quick trip. You know, again, I'm against these type of games. You know how I feel. I've been very consistent. But then again, the Raiders had to do it in Kansas City last year. So at least the NFL schedule makers are being fair because the Raiders had to go to Kansas City on Thursday night last year. Now it's the reverse. So I do agree with that part of it. Let's get to Chris. Hello, Chris. Oh, Chris is no longer there. Let's get to 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I think it was... Was it Chris or was it Charles Davis who we had on? And they made a great comment, and it may have been Chris Landry. But the one thing the Chiefs do not, if you're the Raiders, you want the Chiefs to play from behind in this game. They're just you know, and I don't mean by like 21 points, but just if you can score first and just make the Chiefs play from behind in this game.
I'm almost positive that was Chris Landry. You're absolutely right, Grant, saying put some numbers on the board, whether that's three, whether it's seven, whether it's 10, whatever it is, make them play from behind to get their mind. Because think about it. They're a little fragile right now because they just lost. They were absolutely rolling. Then all of a sudden now Pittsburgh has their number. That has to be in your craw for a week. Luckily, it's a short week, so it's not in there for that long. So if you can score on them, all of those conversations begin to come up again, unless this Kansas City team is what we think they might be, and that's special.
Yeah, well, they have an offense that does not make mistakes. They don't turn the ball over. So, you know, again, is Alex Smith going to go through the entire season without throwing an interception? No, he's not. So will tonight be the night where maybe he throws one or two picks? And, you know, again, that's what the Raiders need. And I'll tell you something else they're going to need tonight. They're going to need another phenomenal performance by their punter, but they cannot be missing kicks tonight, all right? Cannot be missing field goals, extra points. You know, you can't make mistakes like that, in my opinion, and beat a good Kansas City team.
Grant, you know, Derek brought or David brought up something that was interesting, meaning that the front four getting pressure up in the gut on Alex Smith. And if that is possible, now you move him off his spot, you rush him a little bit, you get him out the pocket. He does have the wheels to get outside there, but now you're not letting them just do what they want to do. You're putting some pressure on them. So you pair that with getting out early and maybe getting on the scoreboard. Now you might have a recipe for a W.
All right. If you're on your way to the game, if you're going to, you know, tune into the game, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We've also been talking a lot about what we saw last night at Golden One Center with the Kings and the Rockets. And now, all right, let's see what the Kings do on the road. They're playing a team tomorrow that I think that they are better than. That's maybe I'm wrong. And I think they're playing a team on Monday they're better than. Well, all right, go out and win two games and then see what happens against Denver. But, you know, tomorrow, I want to see. They got the hex off their shoulders last year. They finally won a game in Dallas. The Mavericks lost their opener last night. This is going to be interesting because you're going to see two young phenom-type guards, De'Aaron Fox and Dennis Smith Jr., even though George Hill will start. But there will be times in a game where we're going to see Smith going against Fox, and that's going to be, in my opinion, must-watch TV.
Yeah, and this is, let's say, first road trip for these young guys. You know, take the preseason and throw it out the window. These games count. So it's a different vibe. It's a different feeling going into an arena, and it's absolutely full, which Dallas usually is. It's packed. They're loud. They're getting after it. So this is going to be good for the Kings because it's another experience. How do you deal with it? How do the young guys respond? Can Willie put back-to-back? He did that at home. Can Scal continue to knock down shots? Does De'Aaron come out and play with that aggressive style? A lot of answers, questions have to get answered.
They sure do. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, and again, 800-920-1140. Talking about the second night of the NBA last night and some surprising scores, a game that the Kings are going to be playing on Monday against the Phoenix Suns, they were destroyed. They got blown out at home, 124-76, and it's been brought to my attention, and I'm trying to get the numbers, that there were tons of empty seats for the opener in Phoenix. Like, the place was empty.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, you know, they have some young talent, Booker. They just got Jackson this year.
Yeah.
But you got Bledsoe. What are you going to do with him? Is that going to be your point guard of the future? Then you mentioned Marquise Chris, who, you know, has all the talent, a lot of different things. Maybe he was given that position as opposed to earning it, because now through a training camp, they put him on the bench. So a lot of questions there as well. But they do have some young talent. But as we know, young talent usually equals to some losses. What does it do? What's the culture? And how does it begin to develop?
All right, let's get to Russ. Hello, Russ.
Hey, Grant, Doug, how you guys doing?
What's happening?
Tonight's a big if the Raiders do pull it off. I mean, it'd be prime time. They got the crowd behind their back. They can squeeze this one out. You think this would give them some type of spark and momentum going into the next two games, which is somehow somewhat favorable for them with Dolphins and Bills?
Well, I don't know about the Bills, but yes, it would give them, I would think, a lot of confidence. Now, I don't agree with you about the crowd. The Raiders have shown that they're a better team away from the Coliseum than they are at home, so I don't think the crowd's a factor in any way, shape, or form. But I do believe that, yes, if they win here, that could, you know, be the turning point in their season, because they do have high expectations. They're a team that a lot of people thought could compete for the Super Bowl. But if they lose tonight, they're not going to compete for anything because they're going to be done. So, yeah, this is the game of the year tonight. Make no mistake about it.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Isn't that odd, Doug, that the Raiders seem to play better on the road than they do at home?
You know, it is odd, Grant, but we've seen it so many different times. A lot of young teams play good at home because of the comfort. But then you get those rebel teams that like to go on the road. They like that. I personally like playing on the road. I like shutting up 20,000 people as opposed to making them just go crazy and they're already on your side. I love playing at Arco Arena, but going on the road is something special. But you're right. You would think that a veteran team that has had the success that they had last year would start plugging these pieces together. And at home, you would take care of that, especially with the, you know, Raider Nation and all of that. They go nuts, man.
Yeah. You know what else I just realized last night? You know, C.J. McCollum of Portland didn't play because he was suspended, which even makes that loss. No, I'm seriously.
No, that makes
worse. That even makes it worse for what we saw last night.
Yeah, because that beating would have been probably 20 points worse, because that's about what he's going to give you on a night-to-night basis. Man, that's a good point, Grant, because he's not only a guard. He is, man, that's one of the best backcourts in the NBA.
I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I didn't realize that. I'm looking at the box score. I didn't get to see the game, but I forgot. You're right. He stepped on the court, got suspended, so they put that whooping on him without CJ. Woo! Goodness.
How about that?
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable. All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie taking your phone calls. 339-1140. That's 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Final segment, when we come back, we'll get you right up until the pregame show, and it should be a dandy tonight. So don't go anywhere. We'll come right back. We'll talk to you. That's next here on Sports 1140. All right, we're going to fit in some phone calls here before we adjourn for Raiders football, and we're going to start with Mark. Mark, you're on with Grant and Doug. Go ahead.
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
Good, Mark. What's up?
Hey, real quick. With the depth of the guards that we have, what's going to be happening with Frank Mason if our guards keep playing the way they are? Is he going to be like in basketball purgatory, or
no, how are they going to? It's a long season. Guys get banged up. Guys always get their opportunities. Things happen. So no, he has already shown that he can play. It's a long, long year. He will get many opportunities to showcase his talents.
Hey, let me tell you what, I'm so excited about this young club. And the future's there. It's ours. So thanks a lot for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Hey, have a great evening. We appreciate the phone call. Doug, don't you think, I mean, the ebbs and flows of a season, they already know Frank can play. So it's not like they're worried about that. He'll get it. He'll get minutes.
Hey, you know what? Part of being a professional, Grant, and it's unfortunate, is a numbers game. And you learn to be a professional. And what that means is sometimes you got to wait your shot. You got to wait your call. You got to wait until that opportunity presents itself. And do you stay ready? And if you stay ready, obviously you don't got to get ready. You can go out there and produce. Frank is going to get an opportunity. When it comes, I already know the kid is going to be ready. It's a numbers game, and when those numbers shift, he will be ready to deliver.
You just made a key point. When those numbers shift, okay?
Yep.
Let's just say, and again, this is hypothetical. I'm just throwing out a scenario. Let's say De'Aaron Fox is better at this age than we think he would have been. In other words, he's 19. We have to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Let's just say we get to February and we're like, oh my gosh, De'Aaron Fox looks like he can start and run a team. Well, maybe you have a guy that has in George Hill, that maybe a veteran team feels that they're a veteran point guard away from being an upper echelon team. Maybe you make a trade then. And then all of a sudden, Frank Mason steps on the court and plays every night big minutes. I mean, these are... We didn't look what happened last year. No, did we talk about Sky Lobby Sierra at all at this time last year, Doug? Or did we talk about him in November? No. Did we talk about him in December? No. Did we talk about him in January? No. Because you know why? He was playing in Reno on the D-League team. Then what happened? A trade was made, and he started playing big minutes, and now look at him. That's what happens through the course of a season.
You know, Grant, you're spot on in the gumbo that is a team. It's an interesting mix of different things, and you make a valuable point. If all of a sudden you begin to see that De'Aaron Fox is that guy, you already know what you got in Frank. If Frank gets in there against backup point guards, he is going to absolutely play fantastic.
Right.
Okay, so you know what you got. If De'Aaron is able to take that step, now you begin to look around and see what are the things that we can do, who needs what, and that's how things start to mesh and happen. Because if I'm not mistaken, that's the type of things that Jeff Petrie saw, and then he started to make moves. And before you know it, now you're starting to build and build, and you put yourself into a real good position.
All right, let's get to Mo. You're next. Hello, Mo.
Hey, what's going on, Grant? It's a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I was calling regarding the Raiders. Last week, Sean Smith didn't even play a single snap. He was benched the whole game. And I believe T.J. Carey took his spot and did not give up any big plays. Do you think he should play anymore as a cornerback for the Raiders organization, or you think he's just a liability in coverage?
I don't make too much out of one game, whether it's a bad game or whether it's a good game. But what I do know about the Raiders their big weakness over the years has been defending tight ends and running backs in the flat. And the two things that the Chiefs have that they're going to go, because Alex Smith does not throw the ball down the field like, you know, a conventional offense. You know, it's not a quick strike offense. It's like, okay, we're going to get the ball to Hunt in space on in the flat. We're gonna have, you know, look at what the Chargers did last week on their final drive. Tight end on back-to-back plays, wide open. They were able to move the ball down the field. That's where the Raiders are going to have to defend tonight. They're going to have to stop the intermediate passing game. If they don't, they will not win this game.
Yeah, I agree. I believe that they try to insert John Smith in the money backer position.
In the what position? I'm having a real difficult time hearing you for some reason.
Oh, I apologize. They try to put him in the hybrid money backer position as an experiment, and it didn't work out.
All right, I don't even know what you're talking about. All I can tell you is that, you know, the Raiders are playing a playoff game tonight. That's what they're doing. This is a playoff game for the Raiders. If they win, they go on. If they lose, they're done. That's how I would look at this game, Doug. Seriously, I would look at this game as a playoff game if I'm stepping on that field tonight as a member of the Oakland Raiders.
Actually, Grant, no better way to put that, actually. We talk around about in concentration and a lot of different things. It doesn't get any more concentrated than a playoff game, and that is absolutely spot on, because they are in that position where now you have to absolutely win. If you don't, you put yourself in such a hole that I don't know that it's ever been came back from, but I would say probably really, really rarely. Playoff mindset is absolutely perfect, Napes.
Yep, got to be a playoff mindset tonight for the Silver and Black. Here's the deal. Tomorrow, a quick show, because Doug and I are going to be on with you until 4. We're going to obviously talk a lot of Raider football tomorrow, and we're going to talk about the Kings-Mavs. We'll preview that game. But again, this is we're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow because of this. And we got baseball. You know, we haven't even talked baseball today in 2 hours. The Yankees tomorrow will try to beat Justin Verlander. If not, they go to a game 7. And then, of course, you have the Dodgers trying to polish off the Cubs. But could you imagine? Again, I'm not going there yet, but could you imagine the ratings bonanza for a Dodger-Yankee World Series?
Grant, I don't even – man, that would be the best thing. Baseball couldn't even draw it up any better. It looks like that's where we're headed, but there's still baseball to be
played.
I'm not
ready to go there yet.
No, not yet. I agree with you. But these could go 7, both of them, real easily.
Yeah, I don't see the Dodgers going 7, but the Yankees, you know, again, the Astros with Justin Verlander, they at least have to feel they got a good chance. Hey, Doug, have a safe trip to the Bay Area. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow at 3, buddy.
Appreciate you, buddy. Go Kings.
All right. For DC, Grant Napier, Raiders football is coming up next here on Sports 1140.